That's what I'm being told. He's dealt with this before. It just takes some time to get back. The thing that makes me a little bit at ease with that situation is his, you know, his rapport with Josh. And Khalil is such a professional that I don't worry at all about his hunger to return or his ability to find ways to get himself back and up to speed as quickly as possible.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on Khalil Shakir, who's wearing a boot, a walking boot with a high ankle sprain. Camp is over. Now on to practice at One Bills Drive and a game tomorrow. Last preseason game ever. Share your preseason Highmark memories. Ooh. The greatest preseason Highmark. Is that a thing we could actually try to do?
I remember... Yeah, I mean, I would have gone to a bunch. I remember being at the Vince Young preseason game where he looked great and they got cut. Remember that?
Yep.
Great, maybe a little. I'm giving him a lot of credit. But he got cut probably because they didn't want a quarterback controversy between him and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I remember being at the Matt Leinart, Thad Lewis preseason game. Leinart played the worst football game I've ever seen in my life. But it was preseason. He probably showed up that week, I'm assuming. Preseason memories.
I've got one. Boy, I mean, there's like EJ games, there's Josh games, there's Lossman games, there's preseason.
Those Edwards years, there's never anybody really interesting playing quarterback, right? Not that I remember.
The one that I always go
back
to.
Brian Brohm, probably.
The Bills used to play the Lions in the preseason every year.
Yes.
Every year.
Yeah.
And there was a game at the stadium. Boy, I mean, is it even worth the search? Probably not.
Let's hear it. How hard would it be?
What the memory is, they lost to the Lions. It might have been a tie, and it might have been a loss, low scoring, like 13-12. And it's kids' day. They have the ball late.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of just run out the clock, down by a point, the Bills.
Okay.
And while you don't want them, you don't care if they win or lose a game in the preseason.
Yeah. Do you remember the coaches?
I think it's Jerron.
It's Jerron?
I think it's Jerron. And I feel like they just kind of ran out the clock with the ball rather than try to finish off the game, which in my younger days I would have been upset. Well, let's try and win, like whatever. And now I think every snap where nobody gets hurt is a good outcome. So
that's right, but
I know.
The kids, and also it's not like you would be pulling into a tie. Like if you were down three,
it might.
Like,
I don't remember
desperately for the field goal. I get that, but if you're down one,
I don't remember that. I also don't remember the preseason does not have overtime. That's why last night we saw a tie. I don't remember if that's always been the case, or if that's something that they just decided kind of recently. Like, no, nobody wants overtime here, guys. We'll just call it a tie.
Right, I mean, but if one was the deficit, then you're not at risk of that.
It might have been one was the deficit, and they just kind of ran out the clock.
So then you could just kick a field goal.
No, they just ran out the clock.
No, I know. You could have kicked a field goal.
Yes, you could have done anything.
Or tried to kick a field
goal. Other than just, let's all just go home. It's kind of late. That's one memory I've got of the preseason. Other than that, I mean, what? Jordan Palmer play here for a minute?
Okay, it wasn't one. I think it was eight. I think they were down eight. I got a 14-6 Jerron Bills preseason game at home where the Bills get the ball with 2:31 left. They go run with 2:31 down to the 2-minute warning. Run on the 45-yard line down to 1:17.
Gotcha. So they're running out the clock. They're playing like
run, game over.
They're playing like
they got the ball with 2:31 left at about midfield down eight. And they ran the ball four times in game over.
Yeah. Like almost like they were up 14-6.
Yeah. Now see, that's this one little more defendable. Sure. With the fans in the crowd still, maybe you should give it a shot. But if you're down eight, it's like, guys, the best we could do here is tie it and then we're going to overtime and nobody wants that.
You get live reps.
You do get reps.
Anyway. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Have a poll up on Twitter. We kind of got to today because we watched, you know, the Ravens last night of the preseason, saw the Bengals last night in the preseason as well. And the question on the poll, if you want to chime in on the phone lines or wherever, is which of the AFC other teams, not in the Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, is the most likely to be the party crasher that joins the group. Chargers, who are starting their chargering early, which is like being unlucky. Their left tackle out for the year. Chargers, Broncos. I do see the Broncos getting an awful lot of love right about now.
Yes.
Their defense is going to be legitimately great. And if Bo Nix takes a step from where he was, which was good, kind of game manager guy that runs.
Like
that,
yeah.
That was Bo Nix. Short throws, game manager guy that runs.
Yeah.
And if he takes a step with a great defense, they could be, you know, worth keeping an eye on.
A great defense. It's kind of interesting they are getting this much love, and I love them too, from just their defensive roster and their offensive line is a lot of it. Like, hey, in the trenches, this team should be awesome. Because honestly, skill position-wise, not that exciting.
The Broncos?
No.
Cortland Sutton's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
They drafted a running
back.
Who's
next? Who's the next name to mention?
Marvin Mims.
Marvin Mims, who's like a role player,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's not loaded with – it's Troy Franklin, who didn't do much in his first season. I'm looking at their depth chart, and Trent Sherfield is next on that list.
Old
like,
friend.
There's really not much going on
You're
there.
They're selling on Evan Engram. They added Evan Engram this
right,
year.
Right, like, okay. R.J. Harvey, rookie, Dobbins, like – It's the belief for me is quarterback looked good in year one, awesome O-line, awesome defense, and Sean Payton's going to get the skill position players playing better than maybe they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Right? Like the coach will get enough out of that offense, even if they don't have like all pros at wide receiver, tight end, and running back.
803-0550 to join us in 1-888-550-2550. Jeff and Clarence on this, we'll call it a Football Friday. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Good morning, boys. So yesterday we were having the In Theory conversation. So a bunch of my buddies, we all got new season tickets and paid the PSLs. And we're like, all right, would you sell the home opener of your first game in the Bills Stadium if you could get enough money to recoup all your PSLs? And we were all saying, heck yeah, we would.
Yeah.
Like, but they were saying, all right, how much would next year's preseason game, the actual first game in the new stadium, how much could those tickets go for people who are trying to recoup their PSL money? And it was a pretty, it was one of those funny, just kind of like sitting around. I haven't thought about it yet. I'm like, oh, that's a good question.
Yep. Jeff, I
this is great.
I thought about this. I mean, I've picked up a pair of seats in the new stadium. I have my season tickets in the current stadium. I finally had my meeting. I went through, and we talked about this with Pete Guelli yesterday about the PSLs and price points for everybody. He had said, now, you know, the early announcement was $50,000 for this club, the private areas,
mm-hmm.
and people might have freaked out. And then there's another group that's $20,000, then $15,000, and then $10,000. And he said they're down to $1,000 for PSLs,
yep.
for some of the seats.
Yep.
And I got the impression he even said there's more coming. So they might even drop below $1,000 when you get far enough into the end zones, maybe in the upper deck. We'll see. I don't know if the entire stadium has been mapped for that yet. But I did definitely have this thought, which was, like, I'll just be honest. I've never thought of the idea of you buy a PSL and it has value because you can sell it back. That, to me, has never been something that I think is legit. Like, I know you can. There's a marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm buying something that is for 30 years, in 10 years, why would it possibly sell for more? When it's a 20-year agreement. And then by then, Josh Allen's retired. Like, right now is the time to be there, right? Fair? So, on the flip side of that, though, I did think, would the games in the first couple years, if you wanted to decide to recoup some costs because, you know, you can't go to all of them, they're all prime time,
mm-hmm.
will there be a ticket secondary market bump because, A, every seat's going to have a PSL, right? So every seat mm-hmm. is going to be owned by somebody. They're trying to get – it's one of the reasons they build a smaller stadium – get brokers out. This is what we're told.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea would be that more people would have – those tickets, and they're kind of just locked up. So with the second, yeah. with the secondary market, just overall, like Jeff is mentioning, the first game in that stadium, would the entire secondary market be boosted for 2 to 3 years because people will want to come and see it? You're going to have Bills fans that, I don't know, live in Charlotte, live in Cleveland, live in Missouri, and they're not going to get a seat in the stadium for the whole year all the time, so they're going to make their trips.
Right.
And I don't know the whole how the economics of it ultimately will play out, but to your point, Jeff, like I had a similar thought. I had a similar, you know, if the opener next year is like a, you know, a Monday night game against so-and-so, what would that go for? First game in the stadium. And your point about the preseason.
Yeah.
Are preseason tickets still going for $4? Or is it like what?
No. Not next year.
Right. What's today? Can you get in the stadium for $1 today? Or tomorrow, sorry? A 1 o'clock preseason.
I don't know if the sites let you go that low.
Okay.
If they did, I bet it would be close though. At least $5 probably.
I see the cheapest seat is $28 right now, which seems like
really
insane.
Yeah. Second, and that's the secondary market?
Yeah.
$28.
$28 for the preseason game.
Really? Is it a sellout tomorrow?
Well, I guess here's a question to ask. Are people already doing their goodbyes? Are there 3,000 people at that game tomorrow saying, this is the one I can get to? It's cheap. It's August.
Maybe. $28.
$28 for the cheapest seat on Schmub. Usually that number is 4.
Right.
And it's $28 for the cheapest seat.
Uh-huh. That could be a sign already that it's different.
That it's happening.
Yeah.
That your goodbye tour is happening.
And that would be true. There will be some people. I mentioned this to Tasker, I think. Like, every game is going to be somebody's last game in the stadium. And that would probably be true tomorrow, too.
Yeah. For a lot of kids.
For some fans, for some kids, will be their last time in that stadium.
For a lot of kids. I wonder if anybody out there has thought about the Kids' Day game, like, next year. As we're bringing up this point, if it's $28 for this one, for the cheapest seat, what's the cheapest seat to next year's preseason game?
$100.
Is it?
Right.
I don't know.
Is it a sellout?
I think so. You get that fancy new stadium open for the first time ever, get to watch, you know, from your whatever. I think it could be something that season
flushes. That really would be, like, next year's preseason game for, like, if I were a fan buying a ticket to that game, I don't even know if I'd watch the game. Would you just, tour? Hey, $100, and I'm just going to walk around the whole thing.
Yeah, map the place.
I'm just going to look at everything. Yeah, map where I am. This view's cool. This bar here. And, oh, what's going on? Shane Buechel is throwing passes out there on the field. I'm good. I don't need to see that at the moment.
Yep. Have three people that have written in that the current lowest PSL is $750.
Yep.
400 end zone, 750. That's a far cry from the 50 grand start.
Yeah, for sure.
And a slow rollout, he'd said. Pete Guelli, speaking with us yesterday, said they're about 80% full for the stadium. So yeah. If they're into the 400 end zones, which that's a seat that doesn't exist right now, right?
No, it doesn't.
The closest you've got is
the upper decks don't go that all the way around.
Are the 200s. And below the Jumbotron and below the Wall of Fame,
right.
You don't have an upper deck end zone seat in the current stadium. So that's kind of a new spot. And for people that are still able to get them, $750 for that PSL. And the season ticket price is another thing here. Like that's something else to factor into anybody's purchase. Like if you're going to go get your PSL, like, all right, then what's my yearly price? And your seat, it might just be your seat jumped a lot in PSL. Might be your seat is also a lot more expensive per game.
Yeah.
And that might have been part of the process that was frustrating or maddening for a lot of people. Was I love my seat. Can I afford to keep my seat? Or do I have to go somewhere else? Because we're all moving into a new house and the real estate prices of the seats have changed. So I used to sit on the 42 and now I'm sitting on the 18. Like that might have happened for a lot of people. John in Lockport. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to tell you guys about my favorite preseason memory at the Ralph. It was 2009, the year we had T.O. We had season tickets, and it was Kids Day versus the Chicago Bears, I think. And Food Network was here with Guy Fieri before he became, like, real big. He had a small show on the Food Network, like tailgating something. And it was him and the Wing King. And they were doing some tailgating thing, and I had to sign a waiver. And I actually got on the Food Network for about 3 seconds.
Wow. Okay.
Guy Fieri was here for a preseason game, huh?
Yep. It was. I forgot what the name of the show was, but it was a small, like, tailgating show on the Food Network. didn't last long, maybe like 3 episodes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
He did fine, apparently, I think, though.
It was his preseason, too.
Yeah.
He really flashed.
He bounced back.
He showed the executives some skill.
Yeah.
And he caught on. Preseason memories. This is the last preseason
game. All the
ones
I can think of are on the road.
That's because, I don't know. I tend to feel like, the same way, but I don't know why I think that.
Josh's first preseason game.
Josh
here.
He
throws the ball 70 yards. Yes. But it's out of bounds by 20.
70 yards.
Yeah.
Because it was a moment. Like,
Did they even tell him, like, hey, just go out there. Like, the fans are waiting to see you.
Throw it as far as you can.
Don't worry about where it's going. Just chuck it as far as you can possibly throw it. And he basically did that.
He did. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 if you want to join us.
Even, like, big performances, like those Christian Wade plays are both on the road, aren't they?
Carolina?
Carolina is one of them. There was two of them. I forgot what the other one was.
I got one for
you.
Although
maybe Carolina is here again. Like I don't remember where what's home, what's road. Other than I know the McCarron comeback is on the road, and EJ telling the Browns fans to be quiet is also on the road. Clearly,
was it the other Antonio Brown that you are? The Bills, help me out with this. The Bills had a guy who returned a couple of kicks for touchdowns. If Chris Brown's listening, he'll get this. It might be Antonio Brown. He returned a couple kicks for touchdowns in the preseason. This is way back, though. I feel like it. The reason I want to say Antonio Brown is because it's a receiver, kick returner, who had the same name as an actually star-level receiver of the same name.
Okay.
I think it's Antonio Brown. But anyway, the point is he might have made the team by returning two kicks for touchdowns in the preseason. This is far enough back. Like, what years did Antonio Brown play? Was there enough crossover? There probably was.
Antonio Brown's probably what, like 2010 to 2020?
Yeah, it feels like it was for, no. Okay, he was 2002, undrafted 2002.
Okay.
So
the good Antonio Brown was 2010 to 2021.
Okay. This is the guy. 2002 undrafted guy, Antonio Brown. Played for the Bills and the Washington Redskins at the time. Played college football, West Virginia. In the preseason with the Bills, he played all 16 games during his rookie year, 2003. He was waived on 2004. But he definitely had two kick returns for touchdowns in the preseason. At least one, maybe two. How am I supposed to remember this stuff? What am I doing?
Not the easiest thing to look up, I would say, anyway.
No, you want to know it's very difficult
to look? The furthest you could go back on ESPN to find preseason games is 2003. You go back to 2003, and I can tell you that they lost 37-24 to the Titans. I can tell you who played in that game.
Yeah.
How about a preseason game at home against St. Louis in 2003 where, man, how much were they Drew Bledsoe in this preseason game. Who's the coach in 2003? Is that Greg Williams?
2003.
Or are we on to malarkey at that point?
Bledsoe.
Let me just tell you Bledsoe's stat line. Maybe that'll help you for who. Bledsoe goes 22 of 29 for 231 yards and two touchdowns. The Bills' starting quarterback, who was, 35 years old and was established in the league through 30 passes? Has Josh Allen thrown 30 preseason passes in the last 7 years?
Yes.
Like non-rookie year. Rookie year he would have had it. Do you think since his rookie year he's thrown 30 passes in the preseason?
Rookie year he was busy not winning the quarterback competition.
What a joke. That's what the preseason should be. The preseason should be remembered forever as the type of season, the type of process where Nathan Peterman can win a quarterback competition against Josh Allen.
It's worth pointing out, maybe they thought, let's just slow play him here a little bit. We don't have to right? Like, it could have been that
it was over by halftime.
No, but I'm saying, yes, Josh is the guy that we should play, but maybe we want to wait like 3-4 weeks to do it. Mental reps. So Peterman's their opening day starter, and of course that did not last.
No, it lasted two quarters.
That's right.
It lasted two quarters.
It did not last. Yeah. Joe Burrow last night played.
And looked good, but he should have looked good, right?
Yes, he should have looked good.
Like, hey, throw the ball in the general vicinity of Ja'Marr Chase over there, and it probably is going to go well. Like, the touchdown he threw was like a 9-yard pass that Chase just turned up inside and ran the distance with. So, yeah, he looked great, though. Looked really good.
We've got to get your fantasy finds and fantasy fades on yesterday's games and see if anything came out of it. Like, I don't know if you noticed Ashton Gentry's stat line.
He had negative yardage.
Oh, I feel like he's got to drop a spot in the draft.
Negative yardage.
3 carries for negative 1 yard with a long of 3. So he had 1 run for 3 yards.
Yep.
And the next 2 lost yardage.
Yeah. I mean, from yesterday, nobody really stood out among the like lower level guys. Because nothing's going to change about Chase. Nothing's going to change about Burrow. I would have told you if Richardson had a good game yesterday that he should be on your radar. Because if he's starting, he doesn't have to be good. If he's starting, he's good in fantasy because of all the rushing. But now he's hurt, and that makes that trickier now. So from yesterday, let me see if I could find one that really stood out to me from last night. Because off the top of my head, all the guys that stood out were guys that won't change. Gentry won't change. Chase won't change. Burrow won't change. There was nothing in the Seattle game.
Torrey Horton.
Didn't he have like 9 targets?
He had 7 targets.
7 targets.
Yeah.
But how many? He caught 3?
3. Targets are earned, Joe.
I guess.
Anyway.
You know what I'll do? I'm going to find you. There had to be a third string running back that stood out somewhere.
That's
worth keeping in the back of your mind.
I've got for the Raiders last night, Chris Collier, 9 for 42.
There you go.
There's your guy.
Chris Collier.
Raheem Mostert showed up for 1 carry, 11 yards.
There you go. Nice.
Mostert's whole career is just give me the ball. I'm fast. I'll put up numbers.
Right.
1 carry, 11 yards. I mean, listen, the Raiders running back room last night is a fantasy football Mount Rushmore, waiver wire, Mount Rushmore. It's Dylan Laube, Raheem Mostert, Sincere McCormick, Zamir White. All 4 of them carried the ball last night.
Yeah.
In addition to Gentry and Aiden O'Connell.
Yep.
Any other random
appearances? I got a guy.
Oh, Justin Shorter.
Oh, he plays tight end now, I think.
Justin Shorter, 2 catches, 11 yards.
I think he actually does play tight end now. Not kidding. The guy for fantasy that played well last night, I saw this last night, because he had a big run, he had a touchdown, Keaton Mitchell in Baltimore.
Yep.
He was a nice prospect, he just hasn't stayed healthy. Like, he's missed like 20 games in his first 2 seasons, and he looked really good last night. And he's behind Henry, but I think he could get over Justice Hill and be like the change of pace guy in Baltimore.
We'll check in on Cincinnati when we get back. Joe Goodberry on the Bengals and their decision to play Joe Burrow in the preseason because they want to start faster. Bengals are also winning our poll of which of the outside teams in the top 3 in the AFC is most likely to get in that group. Bengals, Broncos, Chargers. I put the Patriots in there as the 4th. Could have been the Steelers. Somebody said you should have put the Dolphins or the Texans in there. I don't agree, but whatever. Who's the team you think is going to jump in to Bills, Ravens, Chiefs land, if you've got one? 803-0550 on that. On the Bengals next, and Chris Brown previews the first preseason game with us coming up at 8 o'clock here on WGR.